Okay, where is this? TH. I don't know, I just got this thought there that could it be like this? And please now, you ladies, don't take this in the wrong way. But on the contrary, it's out of respect for you. But could it be like this? That due to the, I would say, Western world very much, the European, whatever, or maybe all over the world. Was and still is very much controlled by men, right? And in which way? Well, because the men have built it up, this modern world, as they are so proud of, in the way that they think a good world should look like. Now, men are left-brain thinkers. It's all, you know, linear logic and systems and all of that, right? Math, engineering. But with rather simple bottom lines there, we want to eat and drink and be merry and find a good one to have sex with and make money and have fun with the boys, with the guys, football or whatever. So, I mean, men are relatively uncomplicated. But also, of course, as we know, lack that other side that the women have. So, and the women since they are different, and that's why some of you think, oh, you're saying there's no difference, but I'm saying different in a superior way because they can sense and feel things that men can't often, you know, there are of course exceptions on both sides. Political correctness can sense and yeah. But then they find themselves sitting there in a society looking like some big machinery built by men, of course, for women, so some it may work fine in some cases. But it may also cause an anxiety, a kind of I don't know, maybe I'm completely wrong, but and again, you're not allowed to speak about difference between men and women, but if you would allow me just for a couple of minutes. I mean, women are more organic, connected to nature. More about life, children and friends and often more social. I don't know if I'm wrong or right there, but and then you got men, they can sit there building their machines and so on. Their systems that they think will fix everything. Now, what they have built, I would say, are of course systems but just as with all high-tech machines and systems like that, there are faults, errors, bugs, and when it gets too complex, I would say beyond a certain level, there is always a balance to everything. So there's also a balance to at which level of complexity technology works best on without starting to add other problems like environmental disturbances and whatever. Of course, the more complex a machine is, the more chance there is of something breaking or a bug or whatever. So that all these factors, they add a kind of a mental sheet of stress, of uncertainty, of discomfort somewhere. And maybe those who are of a typical woman mind and heart actually feel uncomfortable, unprotected. In such an environment, which I guess many would say, no, you're wrong. But I don't know. I mean, I think it's maybe a very subtle thing deep down there, because you may be very protected, having a good income and, you know, all the stuff you want and a good house and all the food you can need and all that. But for instance, today there's always that uncertainty of a fragile economy that can, it's not only fragile, it's completely artificial and can come crashing down at any time. And all of a sudden wars, soldiers coming in and killing your children and your husband and your, you know, yourself and destroying everything. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Of course, some extreme examples of what I'm talking about. But in everyday life, too. Just driving on the roads, on the streets, and maneuvering in the big cities. And it's very complex and I would say it takes a lot of left brain activity to handle. And I know both men and ladies, I have friends, people who are more right brain, so to speak, who I can see they have difficulties maneuvering in this society, at least this part of it that I'm talking about. So now, if you are in such an environment that puts this kind of stress on you, what happens? Well, when you are living under stress and anxiety and all of that, feeling insecure or disturbed in different ways, that, of course, causes disturbances in your mind and here, right? That's for us all like that. And the more sensitive you are, and the more they disturb you. And And of course, we have then, again, I guess again invented by men, pretty words to describe this diagnosis, you know, neurosis or this or that. And I really think that those disturbances have increased a lot in the world for the past 100 years. And again, this may sound controversial, but I think maybe they have, and prove me wrong if you like, no problem, they have so to speak hit the ladies the most, the worst, that the women, those with women minds, natures, could possibly be more victimized by and hurt by such disturbances, because they are coming from a situation, an environment created by those with the other side of nature, the male-ish, left brain-ish, too much of that. And then if you're more on the other side, you must feel those disturbances more than the men who made that, and who may not even worry about it, just have another drink and go out on football with the guys, and we're going to fix it. That kind of thing. So, I don't know. You tell me what you think. But again, if this sounds like, oh, he's stepping over the political correctness limit here, gender correctness, but then understand me right. We're just trying to understand the situation and calling for a society, a development of society that is more balanced. And I'm using this metaphor of the left brain, right brain, because at least some people know what it means. If you don't, then just read a little about it, you understand everything. And I mean, again, I don't even know if you're allowed to say that today, where people have become so, how to say, caught up in worship of modern technology and all that. But you know, 100 years ago here in Sweden, and I'm repeating that often, somewhere between 90-95% of the people lived on the countryside. Which means in small villages, small towns. I grew up in a small town which was considered the town in the neighborhood. So basically I grew up a bit in that environment when I was a kid. But, and that was not so long after that great dramatic shift was made from 90-95% of people living on the countryside till just a few years after, 90-95% now living in the big cities, in the cities. I mean, we need to think about that a little and grasp it to really understand what a great change that happened at that time. And I'm not saying great in the positive sense, but huge. And what the implications were then, naturally, of course, on the society. The changes of our social structure, our way of being and thinking and living our daily lives. from those, of course, you still find that, but again, it's supposed to, you know, it has shifted 90% back and forth to the other side. That when you live in a village or a small town, even, I mean, I would talk village life now, where most of my relatives lived, so I was quite familiar with that life. It's peaceful. And it was much, much more, I mean, almost totally maintained by what was produced locally. Importing some whatever resources needed, but very much self-sustained villages like that. Of course, we keep hearing that version that at that time people were suffering all the time because they didn't have enough to eat because of whatever natural disturbances there were. What do you call it? Missexed. Anyway, and of course this country is a tough place to live in. But again, I don't think the development from the old dark ages, as we hear about them, till now is necessarily depending on everyone moving from the countryside into the cities. And I really think that this village countryside life with no none of those needs coming down upon people that you have to be like the big city. People look at TV, how people are, they are cool, you're not. Because that's what happened in the 60s, I saw it. And those small town people, when they tried to follow progress as they thought of it. And I saw then as a teenager that something died. It's like as if the soul just disappeared or fell asleep or whatever. People just not watching TV and chasing sex and drinking and smoking and thinking that life is just about making money and enjoying the senses in those new cool ways that the movie stars did and so on. You know, it came there, a wave of, again, of a new paradigm, a new world kind of entering into a the minds of people. And it's again all coming from in there, right? And then life changed. And the kids, they wanted to not, like me, I don't know, grow up in the village. I'm moving to the big city. And that's the way it went. And maybe we need to look at these kind of factors. Again, as we emphasize of looking from within, inside looking out, that it all starts here within. Our inner image of ourselves and the world and what to strive for and what will make us happy. That also others can plant in there, and that especially the PR and advertisement people are expert at. I would say expert to the point of brainwashing techniques. So then here we are. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be that. And then the desire triggers the whole new life, new way, another way of thinking, other way of using intelligence, other way of acting and working and struggling. But then again, at the end of the day, or rather the end of the life, which we all approach and soon will reach, sooner than we think. And we will know that. When we have spent this lifetime, you know, say time is money, we have a certain amount of hours, days, and months, and years to spend. And then when we sit there, or lie there at the end, looking back, what will we think then? Did I spend this lifetime well? Or did I, if I should be very totally honest, which you can be at that time, waste it on nonsense things, on useless, hopeless dreams that never came through, by chasing schemes for fulfilling my desires, working like mad sometimes to do that. Was it worth it? Did all that actually fulfill my desires? Did they make me happy? Do I look back at a happy, rich, fulfilled life? Honestly, of course, it's very, very hard to say, especially to others, that no, it didn't, unless you're on your deathbed, probably. But honesty, at least to ourselves, is always a good thing. Because most of us are not on our deathbed now. And we can change now. Boom. Doesn't mean we need to change our lives completely, throw out everything we have and just start somewhere else. But change by, again, starting to look at our lives differently from within. Start to question the program that we are running, that someone has maybe even loaded into us, looking at all those factors that are there around us now, maybe have been there all through all life, and whether they actually serve us well, and whether they are connected to reality, or whether they are just illusions, or dysfunctional programs that have just been put there by someone because that person can in that way make money on us or whatever, or control us, or, I mean, that's what business is about, right? Making people buy your stuff, and who cares if it makes them happy as long as they buy it, right? So that's what we are now sitting in the middle of, many of us. So when I'm saying changing, I don't mean change everything, make a mess, new mess out of your life, take it easy, but change your way of looking at things, where you look from, where you put your intelligence, not by just trying to understand what those who are leading and teaching you are trying to teach you, but by understanding, well, what they are doing and why. And whether it is reasonable, functional, or not. You know, questioning, looking for facts, starting to read books again. Well, I see people sitting on the subway reading paper books, and I'm happy to see that. And I heard that there are quite a few people reading books still, although we so often hear the opposite. But there are books written by people who spent their lives that way. And it's a work, you know, to scrutinize and look through and analyze and really try to understand things and yourself and each other socially or psychologically or even cosmologically. I mean, all these things are, they take intelligence and they take time and work. So those people who have put that intelligence and time and work into writing down what they learned and discovered in books, because books are still the best ways to communicate knowledge. Or, well, you could do it by video and all that too, but you could say books are condensed, or maybe the opposite, explicit, and then you can really get down to the essence of things. It's hard to do in a movie or whatever. So books, read books, the right books. I mean, we can read stupid books by authors who just are here to make some career and write something that somehow many want to read. But there are good books that are really based on reality and giving us, they might be very entertaining to read, but still giving us important information for our lives that we can use, not just to put in the head and feel good about knowing it, but use, living it, and clearly noticing and experiencing that our lives become better for ourselves and between each other. And that's what it's all about. It's not about all about technology and money and power and all that. Or plucking apart the world to try and figure out what it's made of, which they can't figure out anyway by that way. But that's another story. So, yeah. Hare Krishna.